Gilt bei den Lieben. not grow weary, we will not grow faint. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. As we hope in the Lord, we will gain our strength. We will run for miles, we will stand up straight. We will not grow weary, we will not grow faint. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. For our hope is found in the power of God. On the wings of an eagle we will rise. On the wings of an eagle. Thank you.
This morning, Lord, we want everything to be for your glory. We want our thoughts, our words, our songs, our church, our community, our resources, our time, our lives, all to be for you. Everything ours is yours, and we come together to declare this to be so on this holy day of Thanksgiving. Bless our time together and with your holy presence. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand to sing number 31 in your Mennonite hymnal, the reddish one. And we will sing the first verse in German and verse 2 and 3 in English.
I'd like to welcome everybody here this morning. To begin, we'd like to have all the children come up for the children's story. While they're coming up, I'd just like to say we have a very celebrative service today. We're celebrating 80 years as a church. We're celebrating Thanksgiving, and we're celebrating communion together. It's all great. We have a wonderful display up at the front of the church. This pumpkin is just huge. I'm very jealous.
Yes, it's working. Good morning. I know I say this almost every time you come to hear a children's story, but today is a very special Sunday. Today, I really mean it. It's really special. I don't know if you got to see the front of the bulletin, but it's a little different today than it is normally. Maybe you should take a peek when you have a chance with your Sunday school teacher. There's a picture of the church, the very first church, and how it used to look a long time ago, and then the picture of how it looks now. Today we're celebrating 80 years that people have been worshiping together at North Cologne Mennonite Church, and we're thankful. We're also celebrating Thanksgiving, so if you have a peek over there, you'll see some of the things that people have brought from their gardens as a way to show how thankful they are of all the things that they have grown, managed to grow this year. So, because of everything that God has done for us, we say thank you. But how do you say thank you to God? Can you send them a thank you card like you do your grandma that lives far away when she sends you something? Does that work? No, Jeremy says, no, that won't work. The mailman does not go to heaven. So Jesus came to earth, and he showed us how to say thank you to God. Some of you might think the mailman doesn't go a lot of places on earth either. But Jesus showed us how to say thank you. And he did it. He said this. Here, I'm going to read it right off my paper. Whatever you do for the least of these brothers of mine, you do it for me. That means that if we feed someone who is hungry, it is the same as doing it for Jesus. When we visit someone who is sick, it's the same as doing it for Jesus. And when we give clothes to people who need them, it's the same as doing it for Jesus. And that's a way to say thank you. There's a special name for this that I found on the internet that I think is kind of cool. Instead of Thanksgiving, let's call it thanks living. So that you live your life showing people kindness, gentleness, and love. And that's a way of living your life and saying thank you to God all at the same time. So let's pray and ask God to help us offer thanksgiving by thanks living. Our Father, we come into your presence with thanksgiving. Help us turn our thanksgiving into thanks living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can go have some fun downstairs. See you guys.
Are there any guests that would like to be introduced today, or that you would like to introduce or introduce themselves? For announcements, I'd like to draw your attention to prayer requests and updates. Number one, continue to keep Ed and Adina Redekop and their family in your prayers. Ed is recovering from successful surgery at this time. Please pray for Louise Lowen, who suffered a fall and is currently recovering in Concordia Hospital. And please continue to keep Rudy and Louise Lage in your prayers as Louise recovers at home following a 7-month hospital stay. I have a couple of announcements that weren't in the bulletin. Actually, there's a whole bunch more in there, too, if you could read them at your leisure, please. And a couple that didn't make it in. There's two tables set up in the foyer at the back. One has a whole bunch of old church directories, and we'd like to invite people to take them if they would like them. And the other has CDs and cassettes from the quartet and a few from Peter Letkeman. You're also invited to take those, but for a donation, please. Also, everyone is welcome to stay after church for Thanksgiving potluck downstairs. Is there anybody else that would like to have an announcement?
Hi, I'd just like to highlight announcement number 4, that next Saturday I'm getting married, and... and of course, everyone's welcome to attend the ceremony. Unfortunately, it's not here, so don't come here at that time. It's in Steinbeck at Grace Mennonite Church.
Good morning. An announcement that didn't get into the bulletin. I'm the fundraising rep for Westgate for the pierogi and farmer sausage sale. The orders need to be put in by October 14th, so there are order forms, I believe, at the back and at the side, and if you would like to fill them out and have them in my mail slot by next Sunday, then I will fulfill those orders for you, and I believe delivery is at the beginning of November. Thanks.
Anybody else? Okay. As part of our 80th anniversary celebration, Frank Neufeld has offered to act as our historian and has a chat for us.
Good morning. This offering is a little different. Gary asked whether I might say something about the early history of the church in 5 minutes. That is a challenge to me. But since we are celebrating 80 years of this church being here, or in this vicinity, I thought a very appropriate psalm would be Psalm 111. We don't read it very often. We don't hear it very often. I would like to read it to you because it speaks of praise for the goodness of God. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company and assembly of the just. The Lord's deeds are spectacular. They should be studied by all who enjoy them. His work is glorious and majestic. His righteousness continues forever. He has made his miracles unforgettable. The Lord is merciful and compassionate. He has given food to those who fear, that is, show reverence to him. He will forever be mindful of his covenant. He has made known to his people the power of his works, given them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. Sure are all his precepts. They are reliable forever and ever, wrought in truth and in equity. He has sent deliverance, salvation, to his people. He has ratified his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear, the reverence of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. Prudent are all who live by it. His praise endures forever. The people on a journey. Yes, we are the people on the journey. We've come over a long period of time to this place. Yes, we've come in diverse ways. Our stories vary. Many have ceased to journey with us over the past 9 months. Quite a large number. We remember them and wonder who might be next. I wonder how those, the first group of Mennonites that settled along the old Red River Trail, now Henderson Highway, during the 1920s and beyond, MBs, General Conference, folks, met together in worship, together in their homes, later in separate meeting houses, now greatly increased in numbers but widely dispersed in houses of faith, some still mainly Mennonite by persuasion, others adhering to other faith communities, sometimes in senior care homes throughout the city. How do those early people reflect, if they could today, on what they planted, the seeds they planted? Would they be astonished? Would they be elated? Or might they be apprehensive and show some concerns? Our group celebrated its 75 years of existence under God's guidance 5 years ago. We are an amazing group of people. Some arrived almost 100 years ago. As more came, they tended to group themselves according to the worship practices they had become familiar with, forming the North Caledonian Mennonite Church. Soon people from outlying rural communities who had heard about this group came to visit and to move into the community, and they became members here. Some came to pursue the possibility of taking courses in trades or in academic studies, and since they had relatives here, they found homes here, found employment in business and in various professions, and settled in. Following the war, there was a sudden and large influx of immigrants seeking refuge in new homes after the upheavals and displacements of World War II. Our church, too, experienced a large influx of regular worshipers. In the years following, since there were many young people in this group and many new friendships were formed, many weddings happened. I remember in one summer, 23 of them in this church. The many new immigrants found work and socialized in the community beyond church boundaries, and that, too, brought new families into the church, frequently from other than Mennonite groups. During this time, many young people from rural Mennonite communities also found vocations and jobs in the greater Winnipeg area, finding connections in a host of Mennonite worship places, ours too. Many of us remember the time when media reports showed the plight of refugees who attempted to and often did not succeed in finding safe passage out of the lands, including surrounding strife-torn Vietnam. In our midst, many people responded with open hearts and hands and resources to welcome in a number of families committing to support and assistance in many ways and for a considerable period of time. And again, the church, open to newcomers, was able to show mercy and give hope to new beginnings, to the lives of God's children. Another surge of immigrants, as we all know, has happened over a fairly steady and prolonged period of time. This is the group from South America. There are those who, after the war, could not find entry into Canada and were therefore diverted to South America, especially Paraguay, some to Argentina, Uruguay. From Paraguay especially, many have come to explore the possibilities of finding a livelihood in Manitoba. A fair number who have been and continue to be active in many aspects of church work here and in other churches. Let us not forget groups of NKMC families who have sponsored families hoping to find new homes in Canada. Love and help were given generously and received in gratitude. The acts of generous giving, as well as the acts of gracious acceptance, were often demonstrated by these groups. Over all this time, there has been another steady influx of members who came to us as people having become good friends and families of individuals and have become the partners and established roots here too. They too, as those from all the other groups, share with the entire body of believers the acceptance of all to love the Lord God with all our hearts and souls and resources, and to love and serve God our neighbor, and to love and serve our neighbors as ourselves. We also remember those who over the years have done stints of service in countries and other continents, whether church or employment related. They too have made valuable contributions at home and abroad. We remember individuals, families, groups of members who have left our ranks to become woven into other church communities. May the good Lord grant us the grace to follow His guidance faithfully as we proceed on our journey and attempt to follow Him in faith and in prayer. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing with us, Frank. Dear God, as we gather together on this Thanksgiving, we know that we have so much to be thankful for. We have heard some of the history of our church. It is humbling to think that our story fits in with the story of other churches in our area, our city, our country, and around the world. This is your story, and we are honored to be part of it. May we be sympathetic to the troubles around us and in the world. We have so much, and it is sometimes difficult to comprehend how little some people have. We know we are called to help, but there is so much to do, and it is difficult to know where to start. Help us to listen to that small voice inside of us, as well as the loud cries for help from the world outside, as we decide what to do as we continue to live your story. We pray for those in our church that are ill, both at home and in the hospital. Please also be with those that are starting up the Boys and Girls Club. Give them wisdom and patience as they work with our children. Please be with us as we continue to celebrate today by listening to your word, sharing in communion, and having lunch together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
With dancing and shout for joy. thanks, choir, and thanks, Zach. I thought you were also going to do the dancing part, but... Probably not the first thing you think of when you think of Thanksgiving. I mean, we think of turkeys and pumpkin pie and all the stuff that's up here. The 1620, you know, the pilgrims coming across to Plymouth Rock and all the story that goes along with that. But as a church, we follow the tradition which we find in the Bible. There are three Thanksgiving celebrations, actually. There's Passover, which is, of course, remembering the freedom of the slaves from Egypt, but also it's the beginning of the Barley Festival. And there's the Feast of Booths, which is in the fall. That's to remember the migration through the wilderness, but it's also the end of the harvest, and they celebrated that. And in between the two is the Feast of Weeks. Now, the Feast of Weeks was praising God for the Torah that God had given at Mount Sinai. But it was also the wheat festival. And they had this interesting ritual that they did. They gather some of the wheat, they grind it up, and they'd make two loaves of bread. And they'd bring it down, and because it was had yeast in it, they couldn't all put it on the altar. And so the priest would go around with their bread in the air. So what does it mean? A little bit of a diversity of thought there, but basically it boils down to three things. First of all, what the bread stands for is God's faithfulness. They take a look at the bread, it's brown and white, so take your pick. They take a look at the bread and they say, who gave us the rain and the sun to grow the wheat? Who gave us the land to grow the wheat in? Who gave us the ability? Who gave us everything? And they said, was God. But it went beyond just the things that God had done for them that they had. It went to the point of saying, who called us to be God's people? And then they would recite a list of things that God had done from creation on. There's this wonderful one in Deuteronomy 26. It starts with, a wandering Aramean was our father. We began as nobody. Some wandering whoever out in the desert. There's a historian, John Bright, who suggests that there weren't that many slaves that came out of Egypt. The 40 years in the wilderness, they wandered around, they collected up all the strays that they could find, and they brought them into the land of God as God's people. Isn't that a delightful picture? That's what they were thanking God for. All the things that God had done. As you've heard, and thank you so much, Frank, as we've heard, we're celebrating 80 years. And we look back, and it's easy enough to look back and say, well, there was a struggle here, and that year we didn't make our budget, and so forth. Folks, it's Thanksgiving. This is a time we look back and say, look what God has done. This is a time we remember God calling people, or bringing them safely out of Russia, bringing them together, as we heard a few minutes ago, here in this place. This is a time we remember our children who came to faith, were baptized, the babies that were dedicated to God's care. This is a time we remember the many weddings, and we're almost tracking for 23 funerals this year, I think. All that happens, and we see God's faithfulness in all of that. And so today, we come to celebrate. But this bread also means something else. The bread also is a suggestion of how we respond to God's faithfulness. So how do we respond to God's faithfulness? By being faithful in response. Very often the people would come together. Amos talks about this in Amos chapter 5. And Amos said, you come together for Thanksgiving and you make displays and you sing and you go down the basement and you eat, but you haven't changed your hearts. Come on, people, he said. God is not looking for all this, although this is really cool. God's invite and righteousness flow like a river. And you can just see the red kind of going down the center aisle here. That's the justice and righteousness. And so we are invited as the people of God to respond. To respond with our lives. And the third meaning of the bread is that it reflects who God has brought us together to be, the people of God. When you take a look at a loaf of bread, it's not a bunch of grains of wheat glued together. They grind them up, make flour, and they add whatever it is that they add to make bread out of it. And there you have bread. It becomes something more than just a bunch of grains of wheat. And so are we as the people of God. We're more than just a bunch of people plunked in a pew who are here to worship because it's the closest church. We're here because God has called us to be something special. God also grinds us a little bit, helping us to grow and to mature into who God has called us to be, to use our gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us. And here's a really cool one. The Feast of Weeks became Pentecost. And so on Pentecost, what do we celebrate? The Holy Spirit poured into our church so that we can, it turns a bunch of grains of wheat into a loaf of bread. It turns a bunch of individuals with all of our differences into the people of God. And so today we celebrate God's faithfulness in our church and in our lives. We celebrate that we come to God and praise God with our lives. And we celebrate that God has given us this amazing gift of community. The psalmist picked up on those things and he put words together that we read them and we go, ah, yes. Just like Psalm 111 that we heard. James is going to read a couple of Psalms, and we invite you, I didn't check with you about this, James, but can engineers allow people to say amen after a Psalm? Thank you. After the Psalm, we invite you to give a hearty amen.
As Gary mentioned, our scripture readings are Psalms 113 and 117. You guys have been sitting a lot. We haven't had an opportunity to stand during hymns. And Gary and I were talking that there's precedent in Nehemiah, I think, for standing during the reading of scripture. So if you could, and are able, could you please stand? Psalm 113. Hallelujah! You who serve God, praise God. Just to speak His name is praise. Just to remember God is a blessing, now and tomorrow and always. From east to west, from dawn to dusk, keep lifting all your praises to God. God is higher than anything and anyone, outshining everything you can see in the skies. Who can compare with God, our God, so majestically enthroned, surveying His magnificent heavens and earth? He picks up the poor from out of the dirt, rescues the wretched who've been thrown out with the trash, seats them among the honored guests, a place of honor among the brightest and best. He gives childless couples a family, gives them joy as the parents of children. Hallelujah. Amen. 117. Praise God, everybody. Applaud God, all people. His love has taken over our lives. God's faithful ways are eternal. Hallelujah. Amen.
Take our hearts, we love you, take our lives.
like the children of Israel coming to the Feast of Weeks and recognizing in the bread God's faithfulness. So we come to the communion table and we also see in the bread the ultimate act of faithfulness and love that God has given in sending his Son, as John 6 puts it, to be the bread of life, the ultimate manna to feed not only our bodies, but our souls. Or as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, that the bread represents Jesus' body broken for us. And so we come on this Thanksgiving to have communion, remembering the ultimate Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for God inviting us to become his children, adopting us as his children, not only in solidarity, but by ourselves, but also together. And we stand in solidarity as God's people. We are here to say thank you to God for the love and joy and hope and peace that he places within us. We read through the writings of Paul, and again and again, he talks about that as if it existed in our lives. And I trust it does. We have come to say thank you for the promises of God. The promise that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. The promise that says, and even when life on earth is done, God's connection with us does not end. In fact, as Psalm 121 states so beautifully in the last verse, that he holds our hand not only now, but forever, and takes us to be with him. So today, we come to the table to celebrate Thanksgiving. And so, I invite you to come, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are worthy, but because through Jesus' death on the cross, you are invited. Not because you're strong, but because you are weak and in need of him. Not because we're all the same, but because we have all become one in Jesus Christ. Come. You and I are invited. Come. Let's pray. As we come to this Thanksgiving table and see the bread, we are reminded that you, our Creator, our Savior, our Father, have always been there to feed us. Your faithfulness to us as a church for 80 years, to us as individuals and families, to our long history as your people. We come today with thanksgiving, hungry for the meal that you have for us. Amen. Before the caregivers and others come to serve, I'd like to give a few brief instructions. If for some reason you are not feeling comfortable taking the elements today, please feel free to pass them along. That's okay. When you do take the bread and the cup, please hold them until we've all received. We'd like to participate together. When the bread comes along, you'll see a little tray in the center. For those of you who are gluten intolerant, those are gluten-free crackers. Excuse me. And when the wine comes around, the center circle of cups, it has juice in it, if you would prefer. After Jesus' resurrection, when he meets his followers, he uses the words, "Peace be with you." And we see Paul picking that up as he addresses the church in the New Testament. Passing the peace has been a part of the Christian church and has been a part of communion services since the earliest records that we have. And so today we would like to invite you to continue that tradition of passing the peace. For those of you who are new to this, as you pass the elements along or as you receive them, simply say, "The peace of Christ be with you," and the response is, "And also with you." I'd like to invite the servers to come to the front, please. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." God, we come today thinking of the bread that you have brought, the bread that feeds not only body but also soul, and we are grateful.
We will be singing number 375 in your Mennonite hymnal as the bread is passed around. We'll sing verse 1, 2, 4, and 5.
I give you this bread in Jesus' name. Take and eat it in remembrance of God's love and His call to be part of His family. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, proclaim the Lord's death. We are so honored that you have trusted us to be a part of this new covenant. Thank you for the way that you have changed us. You have given us gifts. You have filled us with love. And you have changed us through your Holy Spirit. Fill us with joy as we participate in this. Thank you. everyone been served? I give you this cup in Jesus' name. Drink this in remembrance of Christ's death for us, and called to participate. The bread has been broken, the cup has been poured, the meal has been shared. Gracious God, we give thanks for the bread, for the journey, for your wisdom guiding us along the way. May there be friends to share the road as we dare to dream of creation renewed and hope in the promise of justice for all.
As our closing song today, please either take out 606 in your Mennonite hymnal or sing it for memory, but please stand. Is this our grace for the meal as well? Okay, so please stand and sing heartily.